Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behind the badge.
WGN, Dave Neal, Allstate Showcase Studio here until 5 a.m. and touching on things, all light and happy things, I think, at least at this point, until the soul-crushing disappointment of a potential Cubs loss kicks in. But,
just to clarify, Roger, I think the first pitch is 7:15 for tonight's game.
Well, they always list the broadcast starts at.
Right.
So that's at 7. So, but first pitch, like you say, about 7:15.
7:15, yeah. I'll be there.
Again?
Of course.
What, you're not going to be in Bussy Woods? No.
No. That would be a no, but especially if there's going to be clowns there and Dane will be there.
Dane's already taken your spot, so what
the heck? There you have it. Yeah.
We've got some clown attack stories that are coming up a little bit later that I'm sure we'll get into, but you know, until then, you know, I know what you're thinking, Roger. You're thinking, can the Cubs incorporate clowns into the Major League broadcast in some way, right? Because I think even if it's in a commercial, and that maybe the spokesmodel or spokesclown, you know, has really kind of lost its way. What do you think, Dino?
Well, I could throw a few names out there, but I think they'll remain nameless at this point.
People are celebrating based on the Cubs and on all sorts of things going on, and I think celebrating the fact that Chicago is just become this amazing town for food, for bacon. Right? It is the home of the Bacon Fest. There are other Bacon Fests. There's only one essential bacon kind of, I don't know, it's like the epicenter of the bacon world, bringing people from all over the country. And also craft beer. And Chicago is one of those places that I think it's second to maybe Portland now as far as the amount of actual breweries, craft beer-wise, that are here in within the city proper. And so Chicago takes its beer very seriously. In studio, we have Patrick Berger. He is the owner of Patty Long's and Kaiser Tiger. It is a craft beer and bacon bar. Now, Dino, if you can think of two things, if you just have to spitball and think of two great things, other than like unicorn tears and panda sweat, you know, other good things.
I think bacon and beer would be near the top, or if not at the top of my list, because those are two great things that I enjoy, and then you put those together, and that's a winning combination right there.
Also, Patty Long's and Patrick Berger is one of the original participants in Bacon Fest, and Patrick is in studio with us. Patrick, welcome to WGN.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
So, on the craft beer side, and so many people we're aware of craft beer now. There was a number of years ago, maybe 7-8 years ago, it was the kind of thing where you'd have one kind of liquor store in the neighborhood that maybe would bring in things that you liked, and you could get maybe some of those kind of obscure beers. Now, the word is out that craft beer is great, that American craft beer is some of the best that is out there. And so now you're seeing, you know, entire sections and even at places like Jewel. So now people have access to beers, all sorts of different beers and more breweries and more beers are being made every day. But how best to approach it, how best to understand it, how best to assess it, right? You're going to help the listeners with that.
I'm going to do my best, yes. It is a wide-ranging, crazy craft beer world right now, and it's a little tough to navigate sometimes.
So how did you get in on the whole craft beer thing? I mean, give a little bit of background for the listeners on just kind of your perspective on the whole craft beer thing.
Yeah, sure. I started early. My dad was actually a big beer enthusiast. And
what does that mean?
You know, back then it meant that
I think my dad was a big beer enthusiast.
I think it means alcoholic. No. we're not alcoholics in my business. We're beer enthusiasts. And there's a fine line. But he was very into beer. And he wanted to try home brewing when I was young. And a friend of his was doing it. And I was just fascinated with it. And so I home brewed my first batch of beer when I was about 15. And, you know, with the idea that my dad would drink it, I drank some of it, perhaps.
for testing and research purposes.
Right. And, you know, it started even before that. When I was young, I collected all my dad's beer cans and beer bottles and stuff, and I was just infatuated with beer. It's kind of
you're not alone.
I'm not alone. I'm not alone. I have a 14-year-old at home. I don't think I would let him go down the same path, but
it
worked for me.
Is he brewing beer at home now? Does he have a craft brew setup? Better than
he doesn't.
Man,
he doesn't. I don't think his mother would allow that.
Considering the family.
But I want to take over Dad's business. Nobody has to start them right now.
It's only natural. So,
right.
So
because his dad does it, he probably thinks it's not cool.
Oh.
You know, who knows? You never know what the kids know.
Little do the kids know. They just don't get it. You know, one day it'll come in, it'll kick in, they'll realize it.
Yes.
So, but, you know, I got into beer that way. I started working at brew pubs here in Chicago in the 90s. And like you said, it was pretty desolate here.
What was there? Was it like Ram Brewery or maybe like a Rock Bottom?
I started a place called River West that lasted a couple of years. That was on Chicago Avenue. Then I went to a place called Wegman Park, which lasted months before Goose Island bought it. It became Goose Island Ruggieville. And then I moved out to Flatlanders out in the suburbs. And that actually made it out of the 90s, but not too far out of the 90s. But it was tough. And then when we opened Patty Long's in 2007 and I was putting these weird beers on tap, you know, in Lakeview, people didn't really know what to make of it. But, it, you know, a couple of years later, it was ubiquitous. You know, now you go into a TGI Fridays and they have a pretty decent beer selection.
Sure. What are these names? I've never heard of any of these. Oh, those are all craft beers. Look at that.
No, but as a guy that's grown up in and around it, to see kind of the public consciousness and appreciation kind of dovetail with the stuff you would probably be doing anyway is really cool. I've gotten a chance to interview Jim Cook and Steve Hindy from Brooklyn Brewery. And some of these guys that were doing it 20 years ago when it didn't make any sense, you know, and some of like those kind of trials and tribulation stories that they tell because they did it because they have this passion for it. They were going to be doing it anyway. And it just turned out that like the rest of, you know, America really got on board.
Totally. Yeah. Dumb luck for me anyway. You know, I you're right. I would still be doing it. And I just wouldn't be as successful, probably.
It would be something you and your buddies would be drinking instead of other people coming in and drinking it.
And I've got a question for that, because I remember growing up, and there were people in the family that were doing, that were home brewing, and I don't remember it being good. Like now, I think whether it's the internet or whether it's just better tools or maybe better instruction or better insight from people like yourself, that people at home can actually make decent beer now, where in the past it was kind of the science project.
Yeah, you know, I mean, people don't realize this, but homebrewing wasn't even legal until 1979. Jimmy Carter.
Of Billy Carter, the
Maybe, Billy but the beer. Billy beer? Yeah. that tasted like homebrew. But, it's kind of a new hobby in the U.S. And, you know, certainly when I started, you know, I went to a wine store and they had a little tiny beer selection and all the ingredients would be old and there would be one book, you know, that you could buy that would kind of guide you. But now, you know, there's giant homebrew stores with, you know, that are, you know, with really fresh ingredients, tons of ingredients. They're primarily beer stores, and it's a whole another ball game. And people are, you know, it's the groundwork has been laid, and now the information is out there. And then, of course, the internet always helps too. You know, if you don't know what you're doing, you can always Google it. And
there's computer programs and apps that tell if, like, you know, if everything is, if you've done everything right and you've got all the components working. You just have access to so much more information where you can tweak things and you can almost kind of put it on autopilot.
Absolutely. And they even sell now kind of autopilot homebrew kits.
Is there any fun in that?
I have not used one. We talked about this on a podcast a couple weeks ago. I would use it. I don't homebrew much anymore because it does take a long time. It's kind of a pain. And
so you think it maybe streamlines things a little bit?
It completely streamlines it. Yeah. But yes, there are old school homebrewers who are like, well, you know, it's taking away the grit and the grime of getting in there and getting dirty, you know, and
it's
they're right
clean
and,
now. But, what do you mean?
Yeah. But it's easy. So, you know, I don't mind easy.
One of the great things about craft beer is that in the days when we grew up with just, you know, Meisterbrau, maybe some natural light. Yeah, you had your Budweiser, you had your light. And if you were really having a good time, maybe a Löwenbräu, right? You'd really stretch out.
Yes.
Is that the variety of beers are out there? You brought in an Imperial Stout, and then we've got Orion on the line, too, and he wants to talk about IPAs. And that is one of the most popular kind of genres within craft beer. So welcome to WGN, and you've got Patrick Berger here.
Thank you. Patrick, I've been trying to do similar to wine reviews. I've been trying to buy some of these IPA beers and try them, and I have a list with three at the top. I'm wondering if I mentioned those, and sure. You perhaps would either comment on them, or you might have a suggestion for further review on my part that I should look for.
Yeah, please, go ahead.
Okay, well, at the top of my list is one called Hop Nosh. It's made in Utah by Unita Brewers, and it has a lot of a strong, chewy flavor in your mouth as you're drinking it, and also a lingering aftertaste, which just stays with you for a considerable period of time. The second one is a beer called Two-Hearted Ale, and yes. It's very similar, but not quite as, I don't think it's quite as strong in your mouth as the Hop Nosh. And then my distant third, but still third of about 20, is a beer called Blue Moon White Ale, which is another IPA.
Okay. I have had all three of these beers. The Blue Moon, I think they make an IPA. If it's the Blue Moon White Ale, that is technically not an IPA. It's a white ale, which is a Belgian-style wheat beer made with coriander and orange peel. But the Uinta is a very nice beer, especially considering it's coming out of Salt Lake City, which, you know, as we know, has some pretty strict liquor laws. Right. And that brewery really excels at making low-alcohol, very flavorful beers because of the laws in Salt Lake City. They are constrained by an alcohol content that I want to say they can't make anything over 5% or something. I don't know the exact amount, but it's low. And then Two-Hearted Ale from Bellsbury, that's right over Michigan. In Michigan.
Yep.
And that is a world classic to me in the IPA category. It's one of the first Midwest IPAs and really probably would make my top five IPAs, although I have probably 20 top five IPAs.
Well, Orion,
does that make sense?
So yeah. You made some good choices so far. We can't get into the other 20, but those first three, Patrick likes them, so good job.
Yes, and IPAs really have taken over craft beer. It is the most ubiquitous category in craft beer, for good or bad.
Well, thanks. Thank you so much for your comment. And if you had a fourth one that I might try, and you felt it was similar to those in flavor and so forth, I'd be more than happy to go after.
You know, definitely check out Half Acres IPAs that they're making. They've got a couple Gone Away IPA that I really, really like, and Heyoka IPA. I love that one.
Wow, you got two. All right, thanks, Orion. Thanks for calling. Thanks for listening.
You bet. Thank you.
All right, we are talking craft beer. We've got Patrick Berger from Patty Long's and Kaiser Tiger in studio, 312-981-7200. If you have any questions or any thoughts on home brewing or maybe a beer that you like or maybe want some suggestions, you can go ahead and text in or call in again, 312-981-7200. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back. It's staying in on 720 WGN. WGN, Dane Neal in the Allstate Showcase studio here. Dino Tiberi to my right, the foremost Harry Carey stylist, channeler, physical embodiment of one of the greatest personalities in all of baseball and beer.
Well, of course, you know, it's not an IPA, but Budweiser is always a good choice if you're watching a ball game.
And in studio, owner of Patty Long's and Kaiser Tiger, beer expert, bacon aficionado, the one and only Patrick Berger. Patrick, welcome back
Thank
to the
you.
Station.
Very happy to be here.
So we look at Harry Carey as kind of this this beer ambassador, right? He was a Cub fan. He was also a Bud man. Do we have any, is there any, as beer has become bigger than ever, is there like a Like a.
Well, is there an, how about an IPA ambassador? We don't.
Well, I'm just saying, is there a beer figure?
You know, as big as Harry Caray, that's a good.
Or is there someone out there that you see that says this guy, girl, stuffed animal, animated character, beer. Like has the ability to be that?
Well, there's, you know, we have a local celebrity in Tony McGee, who's the owner of Lagunitas, so we're going to taste one of his beers today. But, you know, a lot of these beer guys, I don't know if they're famous. They're famous among fat bearded guys like me. I don't know if they...
Amen to that, brother.
I don't know if they qualify as famous. You know, we have our... we have Norm from Cheers, a local George Wendt.
Right.
He's certainly a beer ambassador.
Sure.
I've had the pleasure of waiting on him. He is a fantastic man.
Now, is he, as a guy who, you know, he had his on-screen persona was a guy who just came into a bar and got beer. Does he really drink a lot of beer? Sometimes
yes.
It's...
Yes, okay. And yes. And he, I mean, I don't know if there's a difference between Norm and George.
probably just start yelling George when he comes walking.
No, Patrick, it's like Robert Redford. He's the same guy in every movie. Vince Vaughn. He's always Vince
Vaughn.
Yes,
yes, absolutely. Same thing with George. He really great guy, and he does not mind someone buying him a beer.
Oh,
yeah, you know.
Like Tommy Lasorda.
Sure. never met a dinner he didn't pay for. Wait a minute.
In the vein of, you know, Paul Newman, obviously a great actor. You know, famous, iconic, you know, movie personality. But as he got on in life, he just had more of an impact as the salad dressing guy. And so there are younger people who only know him as the salad dressing guy.
Sure.
Tommy Lasorda was in the studio. I think he was sitting in that seat. And it had been so long since he was, you know, a baseball figure that he was known and described as the 90s Slim Fast spokesman.
People were looking at him on TV going, what did you do again?
I know. I texted him like, I thought I knew him from somewhere. Slim Fast. Yeah, that's it.
Except for the picture in his Dodger uniform when he looked like he was a little overweight. I mean, that would have been the only giveaway at that point. They wouldn't have known.
Well, you got to balloon up before you can really get that Slim Fast
money. Hey. I resemble that remark.
312-981-7200. If you've got thoughts on beer, craft beer, and you want to ask, we've got Patrick Berger, and we'll have him for at least one more segment, too. But before we go to the news from the 630, Patrick, what's your top three Pilsner beers?
Oh, man. Well, number one for me personally is Pilsner Urquell. That's the original Pilsner out of the Czech Republic from Pilsen. Urquell meaning original because they invented the style.
The OG.
Yes.
The Pilsner.
Yes. So I love that beer. We've got a local one from Half Acre again, Pony Pills. That is a permanent tap at Kaiser Tiger. I really like that beer. And then I had another local one from kind of a new brewery called Bader Brau, an old brewery that is new again. It was a brewery in the 90s here in Chicago, went out of business. Someone resurrected it and recently built a fabulous facility for them right on, like right off of 55 and a stone's throw from Soldier Field. Mm-hmm. And he is doing a triple decocted, which is a brewing term for for sort of boiling the mash a couple of times, and a real traditional Pilsner beer that blew me away for a new brewery.
Nice.
Yeah. I think I remember drinking Bader Brau back in the day.
Yeah, totally. It was a very popular Chicago brand that, you know, once again was ahead of its time.
There are some of those brands out there that either we remember as kids, you know, like you said, Patrick, where that your dad would have cans of, and then you would
old
find
style.
You know, like your Schlitz and things like that,
sure.
That have kind of made a resurgence where somebody new gets a hold of the brand and creates and kind of just introduces it to a whole new generation.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, when he bought the brand, I was kind of like, why is he doing this? You know, this is, no one remembers this beer except us old beer nerds. But he did a great job.
So he took out a big ad in Beer Nerd Magazine.
Yeah, there it is. I think that exists.
B&M.
Before we go to news from the 608, my favorite beer is Mephistopheles Stout. Could you comment on it?
That's a mouthful.
Yeah, I believe is that an Avery beer out of Colorado?
It's that stump, Patrick.
Yeah, I, there's a lot of beers out there. I'd have to Google that one. I taste a lot of beer. I taste about 20 to 30 new beers a week. And while I know I've heard of that and had that beer, I can't remember.
Well, there are so many beers. One that is making a great impact, of course, California, where they started. But Chicago roots with the people involved. And Lagunitas has been here for the last at least a couple years with some great facilities here and, of course, some of those great beers. We're going to taste one of those and kind of work through, you know, how best to appreciate and assess beer when we come back from the break. WGN, Dane Neal, Allstate Showcase Studio here on Michigan Avenue. Dino Tiberi to my right, occasionally channeling Harry Carey as we speak.
Now and then, you got to throw it out there. We're in the middle of the playoffs. It's an exciting time in Chicago. And I'm just as excited to get ready to take a drink of this beer in a minute, too. So
now, Harry was obviously a paid spokesperson for Budweiser. Who, if he really loved Budweiser, I know he liked probably beer in general, but Falstaff, I think, wasn't that a beer of choice?
Of course.
He had his own cooler
when he was with the White Sox back in the 70s. Well, I shouldn't say I enjoyed it. The chicken, unlimited chicken, and some ice cold Falstaff. You can't beat that. You encourage the fans to come out to the ballpark and indulge in a little bit of both while you were there. So it's whatever was paying the bills at that point. You know, he went from, you know, Budweiser went from that beer, Falstaff, to Bud, and you know how successful that turned out. So it's all good.
Guys, I can attest that in the broadcast booth at Wrigley Field, because I was there with him, we were filming a public service announcement with him and Steve Stone one day. And you better believe it, without turning around, within arm's reach, there was the little cooler refrigerator right behind him filled with Budweiser.
There it is. See? Roger, right? A why witness.
Now, Roger, was he obligated to do that? Probably, right? It was in his contract.
Well, I'm not sure if it was in the contract or if they just, you know, when, all right, wait a minute now. If someone comes up to you with a refrigerator full of free Budweiser and says, here, have fun.
That sounds like a good day.
Wait.
I think you'd be rude. I think in some cultures that's a sign of great disrespect.
Yeah, really?
Well, that's good. You saw it in person. Well,
yeah,
we knew that.
I was working at City Hall, and we were filming public service announcements with different people around the city for those neighborhood festivals that Jane Byrne used to have all over the city. And we got Steve Stone and Harry Carey to do a public service announcement. It never aired. And I'll tell you why.
No one could understand why.
I can't wait to hear this.
Because he kept holding up a Bud can of beer.
Hey, kids.
And we were told we couldn't do that. We did about 7 takes because almost every take he did, he either misspoke a word or he picked up the telephone the wrong way to call the mayor's special events hotline.
Spelled Jane Byrne's name backwards during the spot.
See, nowadays, Roger, through the magic of CGI, you could have turned that Budweiser into a Diet Mountain Dew.
Exactly. And, of course, Steve had his foot-long
cigar. Sure.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Everything in moderation,
kids. Those two are the poster children for bad habits.
Well, in these days, you may not be able to get a fine Cuban cigar or a beer up in the broadcast booth.
That's true.
During the Cubs games, but you can certainly go to Patty Long's and Kaiser Tiger in studio. Patrick Berger is here, and Patrick, so let's talk. You've got one of the, I think it's one of Chicagoland, as far as craft brew fans, it is a very, very popular beer. They make a bunch of different selections, and you've got one here, and you're going to kind of tell us how to best enjoy it and to understand it, what we're enjoying, right?
Yeah. I thought it'd be fun if we took a brewery sample that was dropped off to me, and which happens a lot, which is really a great perk of the business. I get to drink beer for a living. It's a dream come true.
Right?
Yeah.
You made it.
Awesome.
You ever just sit back and, you know, let's say, you know, your wife's like, hey, why don't you take the garbage out or something? You're just thinking to yourself, you know, I've made it. Like, I have people dropping off beer, like good beer.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
You know, in quantity. And you said you have to say no a lot of times to, like, no more good beer today.
And you suckers have to sit in a cubicle. I get to drink beer all day.
Yes. But my office has 24 taps.
Oh.
That's nice. doesn't suck.
Wow. Yeah, I would say no. Well, that's pretty awesome.
It's a testament to in some ways being, you know, in and around it early, but then of course all that hard work that's led to two great places in the Chicagoland area, and we're going to talk about those in a little bit, certainly before we let you go. But let's get to the what is the best way to enjoy?
Well,
not in a beer bong, right? You know, you used to do that.
Sure, but those days have passed.
You don't. You know,
last week, I stopped doing it last week. We're all good now.
Yeah, we don't funnel it. For this particular one, we put it in a nice big wine glass, stemmed wine glass, and you know, what it does is allow you to smell the beer. So it traps the aromas in there. You swirl it around. I know, you know, don't do this at Wrigley Field. You'll look stupid. But
you don't see people doing that out of a bottle of beer. That's true.
It's a Coors Light.
If you're sniffing and swirling your beer at Wrigley Field, you know, you're going to get
made
fun of.
Get all the senses before you enjoy your Bud Light.
No, but Patrick, this is important for those people that aren't, I think, like fully attending the craft beer party as we know it, is that it is so much more than maybe the just those basic big beers that you grew up with. Is that there's so many more things to enjoy about it, whether it's the different flavor profiles or whether it's, you know, the scents and all of the things that go. That's why it's one of the things that, and I've heard numerous sommeliers tell me as they talk about wine pairings, is that you can do so much more pairing with beers. The flavors are just bigger.
You can. I mean, at the end of the day, wine is got one ingredient, grapes, you know, and beer, it's almost gotten out of control with the ingredients. I mean, you know, you got everything from
pencil shavings.
Yeah.
An old tire.
It's bitter, I know. That's what I was going for. No, but right?
I'm sure there is a pencil shaving beer. Yeah, we could Google that.
It's called substitute teacher.
Right. But, you know, there are certain foods that absolutely will not go with a wine, and that's not true with beer. You can find a beer for absolutely every single food on the planet. And, you know, the one we're having right now actually, you know, would go great with dessert, and that's kind of a hard one with wines. You know, there's dessert wines, but I would have this with, you know, ice cream, chocolate cake, anything.
Oh,
so if I had this cookie over here, it'd probably be pretty good.
Oh, with an Oreo? Perfect.
All that right. Is,
yeah.
Some brand name cookies. We've got Chip Ahoy and Oreos, I think, two in the team photo of been around a long time.
There's, you know, there are cookie beer pairings out there. You can attend.
Sure.
Yeah, yeah. And the people have done it with Girl Scout cookies and, you know,
the best way
why
to
not?
Samoa, right? Or is it a trefoil? What are the, there's a couple, they've got like four different varieties. That's the thin mints are good, right?
That's pretty good.
Yeah, and then we do our famous beer and bacon pairing at Patty Long's. Every Saturday, and you know, would you go to a wine and bacon pairing?
Not likely, but
I probably
like bacon
would.
People
yeah, I guess
would,
I would too.
So let's so with this one, which is the Lagunitas Imperial Stout, what are the ways that you enjoy it? So
you know, yeah, the first thing we're going to look at is the, you know, what does it look like, the appearance of it. So, you know, we've got a jet black beer here. You can't see through it. It's got a nice big frothy tan head. And then, you know, we take a sniff and, you know, I'm getting little chocolate, cocoa, some espresso bean, all of that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then you finally take a sip and, I personally like, you know, there are beer tasters out there who spit. I do not. I swallow in the, you know, eternal debate of spitting and swallowing. I'm a swallower. Can we say that on the radio?
Yeah,
yeah, I think so.
I think I just did.
Yeah, when it comes to here's the thing is, you know, and it's not, I mean, I don't know, as long as you're not, you know, taking in so much that you lose the ability to think or speak correctly or contemplate the flavors, right?
Putting in an IV. When...
You can go ahead and do that. So you're looking at, you've got the scents, you've got the colors, you've got all of those things that are going along with it. And plus there's a big variety in I think just like the levels of alcohol that are in it too. So sometimes you'll have stuff that kind of is along the lines of maybe a Pilsner, which is kind of light, you know, or something like this. Now what would this be as far as the Imperial Stout? It's got a higher alcohol content.
This bad boy is 9.9%.
Okay.
So we're talking you know, on the strong end, about as strong as they come. You know, when you taste it, do you feel any alcohol burn? You know, that can happen. Quite frankly, with this one, I'm not. I could, this is a little dangerous to drink, I think. It's going down pretty smooth.
Yeah, this could sneak up on you. There's no question about that if you had a few of those.
For sure.
Just like the clowns at Bussy Woods.
That's exactly right.
That's why we're good. It's good Harry had his Budweiser if he had these.
Well,
the cooler right. These and the,
you dull the senses with a couple of those, but then you bounce right back with one of these, so it's all good.
And then you just start doing a commercial for the mayor's office. And you're ready to go.
And keep doing 10 takes.
Well, Patrick Berger is in studio. He is the owner of Patty Long's. He mentioned his office has 24 taps, and I'm sure it is not too far away from those places. When we come back from this break, we're going to talk about Oktoberfest that is coming up and starting this weekend. We'll talk about the places where you can enjoy what he does, the bacon, and all of those great beers as well when we come back. It's staying in on 720 WGN.
Yes.
720 WGN, Dave Neal Allstate Showcase Studio, here until 5 a.m. And in studio, it is just the beginning of what is going to be a great day out at Patty Long's. Is it a Kaiser Tiger, too, both places?
We already had our Oktoberfest out at Kaiser Tiger. This is just at Patty Long's tomorrow, today.
So you've missed it. So make use of the day and get out there and see Patrick Berger along with 12 beers on tap and a lot of delicious bacon-themed stuff going on. Dino is with us, and Patrick is in studio, kind of giving us the not only the assessment of some of the beers in the beer world and kind of, you know, his thoughts on Mephistopheles Stout, which is out there in Colorado, but also how best to assess and enjoy beers. And so for you, as a guy who's grown up in and around it, and then have kind of the entire beer world at your fingertips now, right? You can just pick up the phone or the phone calls you. What is your favorite, like, style of beer? Or do you like them all in different situations, kind of like pizza? Because sometimes, you know, I'll like a frozen pizza, and then I also will lose. You never know.
Right. You got to just, there's times you're going to need both. So
yeah.
What the heck?
No, I do. I do like, I like them all. I always say my favorite beer is the one in my hand. Because that's the one I can drink.
Or the two in my hand.
Yeah.
I like the way he thinks.
But, you know, I guess if I had to really narrow in, Pilsner is actually my go-to favorite style. At the end of the day, I like to drink copious amounts of beer, and with this 9.9% Imperial Stout from that we're drinking right now, as good as it is, I can't drink too much of this. So
yeah, I took about three sips, and then we started because you named off all the disclaimers of, like, well, you know, don't operate vehicles and pet dangerous animals
or try to host a radio show.
Don't head into Bussy Woods at night.
Yeah, looking for clowns.
All right, from the 773, I'm a 65-year-old female. Tried all my life to find a beer that tasted good to me. Do any of these craft beers not have the initial taste of regular beer? I've never been able to take more or drink more than just one. So, and this is one of those things that is kind of interesting for people who want to kind of experience the craft beer thing. And we've talked about the fact that there's a huge diversity in flavors, really, because this is kind of a dessert. This is, if you like coffee, if you like chocolate, you will like something like this. But again, right, you know, there's a high content to it. And I'm wearing one of the shirts, you know, like Moody Tongue does a really great Nectarine IPA, you know, which is totally different.
Yeah. Fruit IPAs are very popular right now. And, you know, that might be, fruit in general might be a way to go, especially that's how I try to kind of turn wine drinkers, because, you know, they're used to a fruity beverage. So there's a whole bunch of different styles of fruit beers out there. The fruit IPA being very popular right now, although, you know, there's some bitterness involved that might turn some people off. But there's some fruited Belgian beers, specifically lambics, that are slightly tart, just a little bit of sourness, and then they're sweetened up with some, usually real fruit, sometimes right, fruit puree or fruit juice, and those are maybe what might get her to enjoy a beer. It's certainly what my wife likes to drink.
Yeah. And I think once you can kind of get in there and enjoy some of it, and that's the great thing about, which is so different from maybe people's beer habits in the past, where, you know, you were a Bud man and that's all you were. You just would get that and that. Whereas it seems like, you know, craft beer fans or people that love it, they don't just find one that they like and stick with it. They want to try everything.
Yeah, they're not very brand loyal. And it's just kind of frustrating for the breweries, I think.
Yeah. Well, you can be brand loyal, but also, or brand respective, but you still are always looking for that, because there's so many cool ones to try, you know, that next great beer that you're going to really enjoy.
Right. That's it. And, there's apps now where people, like Untappd, where they're you know, just trying to try as many different beers as they can. And some people, you know, try 1,000 different beers in a year and stuff like that. And obviously, you know, I think as a beer drinker, you get to a point where you want something a little bit more consistent. You know, you go through that experimental phase, and then you start to go, well, you know, I know what I really like. I know what a couple of these beers does to me. You know, I know, you know, how many is too much, and you know, what it's going to do for my stomach and whatnot. And you tend to,
the process of elimination.
Yeah, yeah. And then you get, you know, you kind of mature in your beer drinking and start to sort of stick to a couple of different brands.
Well, and consistency, you bring that is one of the challenges of the craft beer world is consistency. And I've talked with, we had the guys from Founders in, you know, one time, and they had said, you know, there really is a, I mean, it's, they can do for some of their more popular beers, you know, they are different to them. You know, they're different. Maybe to the average drinker, they seem pretty much the same or true to whatever they like. But there is that, you know, it's tough to be consistent where they will, to a person, say, you know, some of the best brewers in the world are the ones that are brewing Budweiser.
Oh,
based
yeah.
on the fact that they can just keep it the same.
Budweiser is one of the hardest beers in the world to make. You know, a lot of craft beer people poo-poo but Budweiser. I don't. And I will drink several of them at a Cubs game. And it is incredibly hard to make, and it's impossible to hide any mistakes in a beer that light. And those beers have their place. When you want to, you know, like when I'm at a Cub game and I'm
sure.
drinking a beer an inning,
you don't want to go 9.9 at that point.
You really don't. No, you'll end up falling out of the bleachers.
An injured reserve.
Here's the pitch, and he's down.
From the 773, do they have tasting rooms like wineries do? It's a perfect time to say that at this time of year, one of the favorite things is those seasonal beers. It's one thing that craft beers do better than anyone is kind of recognize and kind of celebrate those seasons. Oktoberfest is happening. So let's talk about Patty Long's and what's going on.
Yeah, so today we are celebrating our ninth annual Oktoberfest, and we have live music from Big Al and his Polka Machine, which starts at 7 o'clock.
There it is. That's the hook right there.
Good drinking music.
Beer.
Yes. I'll be tapping a special keg direct from Munich on top of the bar and hopefully spraying beer all over myself. We have brats and giant pretzels and 12 different Oktoberfest beers on tap. And I'm also premiering my new collaboration beer I made with Motor Row Brewing here in Chicago. It's a fresh hop amber lager that we made with fresh hops from Hophead Farms in Michigan.
Nice.
Yeah.
So for those people out there, let's talk about maybe there's 12 to try. People should try to make their way as best they can through those 12. But if there's, you know, a couple can't misses in there that you'd recommend, and then let's talk about, you know, I know you brought up some of the food. You're going to have brats, but I know that you'll have some other things too.
Yes. Well, we are a bacon-themed restaurant. So there's a heavy bacon lean on the menu, and we have our famous bomb sandwich, which is...
You know, what is in a bomb sandwich?
Well, we take...
Because, you know, you get the afterwards, maybe, but going in, bomb.
Yes.
Yeah, nice.
You know, I'm about to travel down to New Orleans to cook these at my buddy's bar down there, and I have to keep remembering when I'm going through TSA, when they ask what's in this cooler.
These are bomb sandwiches.
I've got to...
Don't
I'm
talk
not
going to
say bombs. Yes, I'm going to say meatloaf.
You can't say bomb on an airplane.
It's a spicy meatloaf that we stuff with bacon, then we wrap in a brown sugar bacon weave, and we cook on the smoker, and then we slice it up into sandwiches.
Brown sugar
also,
bacon weave.
Bacon weave.
Yeah.
Brown sugar bacon weave. That's music. You should be a songwriter.
That's
those
a
lyrics.
Coma at that point.
So of course you can get that as well, and it's just always a good time. We have a blast at Oktoberfest.
So give the address. And
the address is 1028 West Diversity, right near Sheffield Avenue. If you're heading over to the Cubs game, it's a very short walk, and we will be probably starting around 4 o'clock tomorrow and getting it going, and you know, and hopefully bringing home another Cub win.
1028 West Diversity. You can see Patrick Berger there along with the 12 beers that are on tap and brown sugar bacon weave involved in the bomb sandwich.
And the polka band. You throw that in there, and that's a day of entertainment right there.
You're open more than just one day a year. So even if people can't get there tomorrow, name the, you know, maybe the social media or maybe ways, the
so
website.
We're PattyLongs.com. We are at Patty Longs on Twitter. And then Kaiser Tiger at 1415 West Randolph is at Chicago Shy, I think, and KaiserTiger.com.
Patrick Berger, owner of Patty Long's and Kaiser Tiger, giving us the tasting tour of the beer world. Thanks so much for being on the show today.
My absolute pleasure. Thanks so much.